Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 19th of May, 2021, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. We have a nice show. My friends from Text Help are here. Two of the regional managers, actually, Jody Burr and Linda Walker. We're going to talk about, and these people call on school districts all the time, so I'm loving the way we're doing this show. So I thank Text Help for sending them along. We're going to talk about leveraging the stimulus funding to provide equity in schools. We'll talk about what Text Help does, and we'll see this through the eyes of people who are actually going to visit schools every day. So we're going to find out all kinds of things about Text Help and how to use the funding and all that sort of thing. We'll start that in a second. As you know, here at Education Talk Radio, we are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and that's really important to us, should be to you too. Everything we do is over at ACE-ED.org. Go over there, check it out, see our magazine, which is an online journal. It's really good, called Equity and Access. We archive all of our podcasts there, just like we'll do with this one. And there's a lot of other good information. We'd love you to join with us. Everything we do is free. We just want to make educator voice, industry voice, thought leader voice well heard, okay, when it comes to equity and access. ACE-ED.org, that's the place to go. And without further ado, let me bring on Jody and Linda, the Jody and Linda team. Jody, good morning. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for having us this morning.
It's my pleasure. I see. I'm going to take a shot. Are you in Louisiana today? Where are you?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
Gloomy skies. Typically sunny, but we're a little gloomy this morning. Big rain band's coming through.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Where are you? Are you up by Shreveport or down by New Orleans?
I am. Yeah, good guess. I am. Everyone always assumes New Orleans is the only city in Louisiana, but yes, I'm actually in the northwest corner of Shreveport-Bossier area.
It's a pretty good area right there. I've flown into Shreveport a number of times, and I bet you can't name the old pro football team that was there. You're too young. There used to be a professional football team there. You're not going to believe this.
Ah.
You ready?
Boat, maybe?
Close.
Okay.
The Shreveport Steamers. Jody, I'm impressed.
Steamers, there you go.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Steamboat, I love Steamboat. That was terrific. Okay, great. Linda, are you there?
I am.
Linda Walker, how you doing today?
I'm good.
And where are you? You cover Texas, Oklahoma. Where would you be? Would you be in Tulsa? Where are you? Texas? I don't know.
I am not in Tulsa. I am in the DFW Metroplex on the Good West Side in Fort Worth.
Are you literally at the airport?
Well, no, I'm in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth. Oh, I get
Fort Worth, which is way on the.
Yeah, when you said DFW, for some reason I thought of the airport with the call letters of the airport. Okay, you just mentioned
right.
Dallas-Fort Worth. Right, cool.
I am in Dallas-Fort Worth, and they're two very different places, and we love them all.
They are indeed
but,
very different
Fort Worth,
places.
But Fort Worth is like a cow town.
That's
what
right.
They call it.
Well, a cow town tends to have a negative connotation to it. Fort Worth is not a cow town. I will call it a western city, okay, where Dallas
is
less, okay? You feel like you're in cowboy land a little bit more when you're in Fort Worth, okay? It's different
and
from Dallas, okay? But
you're
but
right,
it
and it feels
it,
much
it,
more like a small town.
It does. I agree with you. DFW, you're exactly right. That's great. Linda, tell us, what you do in your work with Text Help. And everybody, it's texthelp.com. And just what Text Help does and what your background a little bit, if you want.
Well, I am actually in air quotes retired educator and chose Text Help for my next chapter, my professional career, because we are really here working on those equity issues.
Yeah.
A suite of tools that's really based on universal design for learning. So how can we support our most challenged learners by supporting all learners?
That's it. I mean, what are those tools? Well, let's ask Jody. Jody, step in. What does TextHelp provide?
Absolutely. And I'll echo Linda there. I'm too a retired educator who super passionate about accessibility for all learners. And
good for you.
TextHelp, of course, is a fabulous, fabulous company that I worked with for many years. Prior to retiring, I worked as not only an educator in the inclusion space, but also an assistive technology facilitator for a number of years in the State Department of Louisiana, and worked with primarily read and write. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. So I brought that passion with me into this role, in being able to extend beyond just districts in Louisiana. I now work with four different states, not only Louisiana, Arkansas, but Alabama and Mississippi. And so covering the South here in spreading my passion for, again, accessibility and supporting learners, especially now that we're going to we're looking at the constraints of COVID and digital learning.
Yep.
But our primary focus is on, as Linda said, staying in touch with education space, building equitable EdTech supports that support all learners no matter their learning environment in a digital world, and providing them with the independent tools that they need to be successful. And we have really four main products that we work with districts on, and Read and Write is our literacy support tool.
Yep.
Equatio, we're going to dive further into these as we go forward, but Equatio is our tool that makes math digital, which is extremely important right now. Trying to create digital math has been a huge hindrance for a lot of years, and it's really an unparalleled, easy process for being able to do that. And we have Fluency Tutor and RyQ, which are literacy support tools for both reading and writing and increasing proficiency of students in the classroom and away from the classroom in remote spaces.
And they are. And, you know, I'm going to ask both of you this, right? And the products at TextHelp, I know them well, okay, are very, very good. They're very, very appropriate for this day and age, okay, as we become more aware of the need to give every child the differentiated education they need and use the proper tools to do that. It brings about equity. We're giving every kid an equal access, et cetera. I could go on and on and on in that speech for hours, okay, but there's no need to in this day and age. But I'm curious, and Jody, then I'll ask Linda. As you're in, let's go, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi. You go school district to school district. As we talk about those things, what do you hear back from the school districts about this? Because they all have the best of intentions. What's going on out there as you literally talk to every school district in those states? I'm going to ask Linda the same thing about Texas and Oklahoma. I'm just curious, what's the feedback? And not just on TextHelp, but the generic look back at equity and accessibility and the tools needed.
Absolutely. So I've said since the very beginning of COVID, when we went through, of course, the emergent piece when it first hit and our heads are still spinning, what do we do here? How do we move forward? We know where things transitioned from March of 2020 and really how we just went ahead and shut down school, but then decided, okay, when we come back, what are we going to do to get back in a workflow that works for all students where we can actually reach them and give them independence that they need to learn? I've said in that very time frame that happened is that if one good thing has come out of COVID in an education sense, it is that those of us like you, Larry, and Linda, and the others that I work with in the multitude of places, our passion for supporting our learners in an equitable sense and prioritizing that equity and making sure that we plan in advance to have the right tools in place, have the right resources, support in place, who maybe didn't align with those mindsets, and the importance of prioritizing.
Jody, you're breaking up just a little bit. I don't know why.
Okay. Is that better there?
Yeah. It was. Yeah, just for a second. I just was losing words. Okay. I just want everybody to hear you. That's all. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank
just say
you.
It again.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal. I was saying that those who in the past maybe didn't align with our mindsets, if you got in front of them and talked to them about it, they understood the importance. And it was, you know, easy to convince others of where those passions were, but they didn't always see the importance of prioritizing having equitable supports in place in advance and making sure that their students were ready for these shifts. Our current customers and partners that we worked with who already utilized our tools were so much better positioned to shift on a dime. And I think that those conversations, we just simply exploded here at TechStelp last summer and have continued to with folks, you know, realizing, oh my goodness, these things are important. Now we see where your passions are and where we need to put these things into place. So what we're hearing when we go out and talk with educators and now looking at the proof in the pudding and looking at what really has happened with learning loss and seeing the data and scoring and moving forward, we're hearing now they've really have to step up. And thankfully, as we know, the federal government has put the money in place for them to be able to do that and sort of put the money where their mouth is in a sense.
Literally.
And looking, taking a harder look at our tools aside from just accessibility and looking at what we do for social-emotional learning, looking at what we do for providing equity, looking at what we do to, you know, reach those multitude of diverse learners outside of just that special education space.
That was well said. I'm going to ask Linda the same thing. I just want to make a little comment. You used two words, in advance. And one of the challenges that we had when this pandemic hit, and we all knew intrinsically there was an inequitable situation out there with access, with everything you could think of. But we kept kicking the can down the road. And as I joke, we finally got to the end of the road and it was a cliff, and that turned out to be the pandemic. Okay? And suddenly everybody got caught short. But a few districts had planned in advance. All right? And they didn't get caught short. All right? And that's your words, understanding in advance. You can't wait for the event. You have to be preempt and be ready for it. All right, and when you go and you talk to people now and we learn the lessons from the pandemic, that's going to make all the difference in the world. So I agree with you, Jody. It's good news. Linda, what are you hearing out there, hearing and seeing in Texas and Oklahoma, where the wind comes whipping down the plains? I could sing the song, but I won't. Yeah.
And tumbleweeds are rolling across the roads while we wear our spurs and ride our horses to work.
There you go. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in Fort Worth. I said it was a cowboy town. There you go.
Almost exactly.
I can see you as you're going school to school just chewing on a little piece of wheat, you know, in your mouth with your cowboy hat on. I got it.
Okay. Well,
yeah, go,
with
the, go, go,
so
go.
Like you,
yeah.
like you said, Larry, like you said, one of the things that one of my favorite customers, they're all my favorite, but one of my favorite customers said is, you know, we've always had these learning gaps. They've always been there. We've always had kids that were challenged and struggling, but what happened in this time of COVID, no matter, you know, if you're face-to-face or your teachers are teaching both face-to-face or remote or you're teaching remote only, is that those gaps have gotten bigger. So we've always had that summer slide, and even documentation that's coming out from the state is talking about we've got the summer slide plus a whole bunch more from the last year and a half, 2 years. That has impacted students' academic performance and proficiency, as well as their socio-emotional, that whole aspect of losing confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've lost persistence. They don't have that conference from teachers that gives them that specific specialized support. Math in digital spaces, as Jody mentioned, is just tough, and parents don't know.
Yeah.
There's a great report out there from NWEA about our learning loss in math. And parents
mm-hmm.
just don't feel comfortable trying to
mm-hmm.
support their kids in today's math.
Yeah.
I mean, I have
yeah.
a master's in math education, but I haven't practiced in 30 years. So, I can't do algebra off the top of my head anymore. So we're really hearing about that social-emotional aspect of kids, even kids face-to-face. One of my another one of my favorite districts shared the story of a young lady in third grade who was in tears every single day in class. And she finally got referred for some specialized pull-out support, and the student is still in tears. And the teacher is watching her and finally just gives her access to read and write, the free trial version, and it
yep.
totally changed the child's
oh, yeah.
life.
It would.
Because now she's proficient. She
yep.
can independently Right. The teacher showed her a couple little tools, and this young third grader became the champion, not just for her own work, but was teaching the rest of the students in the class, as well as her gen ed teacher, on, wait a minute, we can do this, this, and this. And ended up in a, as a third grader, wrote me a persuasive letter trying to convince me to give them a no-cost pilot of Read and Write because it's making such a difference for kids. So I know all of our districts have stories like that.
And today that kid in fourth grade, next year in fourth grade, she'll be a Texas state senator. Would you predict that? It sounds good to me.
She, you know how politics are here in the South, so anything can happen.
I won't comment on that, but she sounds like a winner. I got to tell you, it's just incredible. Okay. By the way, politics are nutsy everywhere, just in case you didn't know that. Okay. Everybody, they're all nuts. I live in Maine. They're nuts here, too. Okay. What can I tell you? All right. We're on our own. Okay. It's that simple. You know, as you both go into schools, and again, your territory directors, territory managers, but you are sales, if I may, you also are the salespeople, am I correct?
We are.
Yeah, okay, which is good. Okay, that's excellent, all right? And you are, and I say this without hesitation, and it's great that you are, to your school districts, you are Text Help, okay, your company. You're not only the representative, you are the company. All right. And your job beyond sales, and this is what we try to do with our consortium, the industry has an awful lot to offer people besides sales. It's not just a salesperson. All right. The industry cares, and the industry has to hear from school districts what they need and produce the products that will make education work. It's that simple. It's a very symbiotic relationship there. All right. I'll go back to Jody here. Jody, you know, all these dollars are going to be coming into the schools, all right? Your job has to be, not to sell, but to help them use their dollars wisely to increase equity. So as you go in these days, how do you do that? And it's a big responsibility to not only explain the textile products, but help the school districts use their dollars wisely. So, Jody, as you go in, what are you hearing back about all the dollars and how they're going to use it in your states, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi?
I appreciate that you came to me, and I love that you started with this sort of sales lead-in, because as an educator and spending a long time, as I told you before, I was AT consultant, and my role then was, of course, to help districts make decisions about tools
exactly.
that were appropriate for students. And so in all of that, I worked with a lot of sales folks and came to really appreciate the role that they had in partnering with us and within districts. And whenever I was first, in fact, I was approached about this opportunity to come and work with Text Help, one of the very first things I came home and said is, I will never, ever, ever do sales. I will never do it. I'm not a salesperson. And I really, in fact, my boss knows, and I went to him and I went really struggled with this. Okay, I'm sitting on a plane. A person asked me what I do. When I used to say I was a teacher, I was this great, you know, noble, out to help the world sort of person. And in sales, I felt like a used car salesperson.
Exactly. And
it's
not that at all.
Used car salesman.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was judged as being self-serving. And so I talked with him a little bit about that, because I kind of went through this little identity crisis. And his response to me, I'll never forget it, was, you're selling an honorable product.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what I take with me when I walk in front of anyone, not just a decision maker, but all the way down to the trenches of the classroom and with the student. I'm making a difference in helping students primarily, teachers, of course, and parents. And it's this systematic process now, as Linda talked about. We used to sort of silo our students, silo our teachers, and silo our parents, but we know now with this more inclusive approach to education, students are still learning at home, they're still being social distanced, and we don't know going forward where this is going. We know it's important that we continue to plan for that, you know, those shifts that may come as this pandemic plays out. But what we're hearing is that things need to be simple, things need to be systematic, in the tools that are being offered, more of a package approach. Everyone can go in and throw all sorts of education technology into their funding and say, we're going to provide all of this whole list of support. But unless they work together and integrate well into the spaces where students are working, parents are understanding, as Linda spoke about, how to support their learners at home. Teachers are embedding these tools into their instruction. That's what we're hearing is most important in these different areas. And so when I have the opportunity to get in front of anyone connected to education and share the excitement that I have for what our tools do to provide that simple approach to support, putting equity at the forefront, showing them how it levels the playing field, taking the stories that Linda spoke about and the many, many others that we've heard that literally, you know, bring chills to my skin, knowing that we truly are, as a company, as you said, listening to our users, continuing to develop our tools to meet the needs and the trends and the shifts in education, partnering ourselves. We're seeing within our districts, yes, as TextHelp, but we're really seeing more as that as partners with our districts, and knowing that I continue to, and Linda continues to do, and others in our company continue to keep our arms locked in with educators, even though, you know, we may be retired in different spaces and considered quote-unquote
you're still
sales,
educators.
We're still connected.
Yeah, of course.
And we're still partners in making a difference in, and we take very seriously the successes and the strains of our districts, and we listen and we bring back. That's the greatest thing about TextHelp is they're continually, we're continually developing, continually listening. On the daily, we get asked, what are you hearing for your customers? What do we need to do?
That's right.
And that was really evident when COVID first hit. One of the very first things we did was say, hey, how can we help? We totally pulled back on sales and said, what can we do to make this more simple? What can we provide? We're here to help. And that's when you do that, your heart's in the right place, things fall into place, and you not only have the, you know, the blessing of continuing to do what you love, but you also continue to grow in your own career and continue to learn about what you can do more to help.
The old saying, what goes around comes around, and I know you guys know that, okay? It just happens in the end. Okay, Lynn, your thoughts? Yes. Linda Walker?
Well, I mirror everything that Jody said. Some of the things, and I hate to think that any of my customers would think I'm the only face of TextHelp. I think the blessing is we've got a really great team that is behind us to support
nice
us.
To
so
say.
We've got we've got a really dynamic tech support team. They get rave reviews from my customers. We have an amazing professional development team that provides both free and paid for training resources. We have product
Thanks
developers
for saying all
that. Yep, product management team that will meet with customers and answer questions. And, you know, as Jody talked about the systematic approach, as we're talking with our districts, you know, the very first thing we do is ask questions. And we've got, you know, with the shift, we've got anywhere from customers that didn't start early and they did have that technology in place and they did have the infrastructure and the Wi-Fi and the connectivity and the home connectivity and the devices. But we had a lot that didn't. So as we were shifting, we've had a lot of people that have adopted a lot of new things on the fly. So that need for professional development and that need to kind of right now stand back and look at what is it that we can really put in place that meets these needs, that's going to work with the devices we've just adopted, that's going to work with the new learning management system, that's going to work with the 8 textbooks we're companies that we're using, that works within our testing system. So really just working with those folks in figuring out a solution that that already aligns and plugs into what they have as opposed to a specialized something that meets today's need but it's not going to meet tomorrow's need and it's not going to support all kids.
Exactly. That word you're looking for is interoperability. That's that key word in school districts these days. We have with the products they're going to buy have to work with the systems they have, and all the systems have to come together. It's hard, okay? It's hard to do. And by the way, thank you for saying all that about TextHelp. What I meant to say is that you guys are actually the doorway to the school districts you work with to TextHelp, okay? And all those
right.
people that work behind you. And we're firm believers at our Consortium for Equity that the industry is an integral, like you folks, is an integral part of learning, all right? And you know, what can I say? You're just echoing that right off the bat. And too many people see it as just sales, and it's not. It's far more than that, okay? But, Lynn, let me ask you, as you talk to the school districts, do they understand all the money that's coming their way? And what they're going to do with it? I mean,
right? We've got a broad
range. Like winning the lottery.
I mean, there's a lot of
It's like winning the lottery. And most of them lose the money in a year. They invest in Bitcoin
Jody has done a tremendous amount of research on and shared with our team on the federal documentation that's come out. About the funding and who gets what and where it should go and what it's designated for. And then each individual state has their own take on it.
Right.
So, Jody, do you want to kind of give a quick summary of the three COVID-related funding from the
sure,
federal perspective?
Yeah. So,
Do it. So Jody, you are now the official expert. Go for it.
I have become.
Voice of Jody. Go ahead, Jody Burr.
So as it relates to K-12 education, we know that over the past year plus now, as we're moving more into the summer, the federal government, of course, has put out three main stimulus packages that has benefited benefited, you know, federally, but in education space, that money in the K-12 arena comes through three different sets of ESSER funds. So it's the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Funds.
Right.
And as time has gone on, the amounts for the spending have increased exponentially each time. We started with the CARES Act, which gave about $13 billion. And all of the funds in ESSER were distributed based upon the Title I formulas within school districts. So there was already an emphasis on supporting diverse learners in this area. Speaking, you know, we know that title funds go back to our poverty levels within districts. And so then we moved forward in January at the end of Trump's administration, another $54 billion was distributed. And then again, we had here just last month or March, I believe it was, we had another round that came out, and it was huge, gargantuan, $122 billion was given into the education space for K-12 specifically. And so with each one of these funding resources that were put out, the government also put behind that some priorities and guidelines for the funding. And they really sort of overlap from piece to piece. Of course, they align with ESSA, with our federal plan for education. But we kind of shifted in the beginning from, as you talked about, hardware, connectivity, those sorts of things, a big focus on one-to-one education, computer and Chromebooks and things like that. And as time has gone on, now there's been a more of a shift to the big piece that we're all so passionate about putting money into places that help to really level the playing field for the inequities that have been exacerbated by the pandemic that COVID really brought to light. We knew these things, see, and so now the proof is in the pudding. And so when we look at learning loss that we know has occurred, Linda mentioned the math learning loss. And, Linda, I think that and it was so hard for me to hold onto my tongue, but I think that learning loss is somewhere between 50 to 70% in math. And so with that, we know that the things that have been lost, we've got to work hard on regaining.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to channel our money into looking at resources that support and try to fill these gaps that exist. But the one thing that we can't regain in any of this is the time that was lost. And so not only are we having to go back and fill gaps in sort of remediation sense. At the same time, we're having to push forward and keep kids. And so you see, I'm saying we because I still am in that education sense.
I'm still
right there responsible along with them. But we're having to help districts continue to push their kids forward and keep them at grade level and beyond. And so it's important that when we talk with folks about the decisions that they're making about their funding, that they're looking for tools and support, again, that are systematic, simple things that they're doing, but more importantly, mitigate those learning losses so that we're not having to – we can't make up the time. So the things that districts are having to focus on are the resources that put the supports at the fingertips of the students for independent learning now, both back for remediation purposes and also moving forward into their current education standards and grade level standards.
And that was a great explanation of all that, and your thoughts are excellent. I must say I've been using this line, which I actually made this up myself, but I believe it's accurate. And see if you agree with me. I believe people are mixing up learning loss with curriculum loss, okay?
Yes.
And I think kids learned things over these year and a half. They may not have been able to cover the curriculum fully, but it's more curriculum loss than learning loss. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but it's kind of my feeling about it. And I'm curious if you're hearing, and I haven't heard this, and Jody or Linda, okay, you know, maybe it's time we just have to make it call it if we can, just since the kids lost a year, call it a K-11 curriculum, get that done, not take the pressure off and, you know, and just go from there. Am I making sense? I'll ask you.
You are, Larry.
Yeah,
and I think one of the things that I've heard from districts is they hate the term learning loss. I know it's written in the federal guidelines, in our state guidelines. And, you know, there's some terms that are thrown around that just kind of hit our hot buttons because our educators from classroom push and support, regular teachers, PE teachers, district level support have whatever the bar was, they not only hit the bar, but they exceed it. And that's gone on for years. And who would have thought that we would throw these COVID wrenches in there and teachers would be able to do the amazing, unbelievable things that they've done for kids. And you know, heard a wise conversation about, you know, that old fear that, oh, my gosh, technology is going to take over. And we know, I've said for years, technology cannot teach reading.
That's right.
In order to be a better reader or a better writer or a better mathematician, you need to be engaged in reading and writing and mathematics and truly cognitively engaged. And that requires the expertise and the art of teachers that can help support and nudge those students along. What we're not going to get, like Jody said, is any additional time for those teacher movements. I know that's one of the things built into the legislation is funding for summer programs, funding for after-school programs. But I'm already hearing from districts that finding that additional staff and tutors is a monumental task. There's not more people that just magically appeared. So we've got to really be wise on how we're leveraging the expertise of teachers and letting teachers do the things that they do best and letting students use the technology to provide some of those supports so that those students can be independent. I don't need a grown adult to stand over and read something to me if I have a piece of technology that will do that for me or help me with define a word or maybe just give me some basic feedback on my writing. When I have technology tools that can provide that so that when I have access to that teacher, I can leverage their expertise and use technology when it's most relevant.
The technology, as we know, is a tool, okay? And educators are educators. That's why they're called educators. They educate people, okay? And they use tools that make sense. And you're exactly right. Ladies, you are two terrific. I just really enjoyed this show. I can't tell you. You two are wonderful. Jody, Linda.
Well, thank you.
You get the Larry Award.
Absolutely a pleasure to be able to do the work that we do, for sure. And we appreciate you allowing us to share our passion.
I'll tell you something. That comes across. Okay, that comes across what you just said. I mean, you're just, it's just really great to hear people who are so dedicated to education and working with a company, TextHelp, that just does so much good out there. Okay, it really does good, and you guys, by extension, are doing that as well, and you're aware of what these school districts need. Okay, thank you for all this. Jody, Linda, it's almost summer up here in Maine now. Okay, so we're getting like you guys are all the time.
I don't know if you're going to get the 90 days in a row of over 100 degrees, but we wouldn't wish that on much of anybody.
No, and poor Texas. And poor Texas, you had that freezing cold. Okay, which you guys
can say that.
Oh, man, it was a messy year.
Jody's part of the country got it as well, and who would have thought, you know, there's not a whole bunch about this time in our history that's surprising, but
no.
A week of completely frozen shutdown was a little shocking.
Yeah. Unfortunately, nothing surprises us anymore. It's getting so nuts out there. Ladies, thank you. Both of you, stay safe down there, and you're just doing great stuff. So I can't thank you enough for being with
me
today. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
That, everybody, are my two best friends from TextHelp, TextHelp.com, Jody Burr and Linda Walker. The great Southeast, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, okay, Texas, Oklahoma. Did we miss anybody in there? No, it's the whole darn thing there. All right, great stuff. All right, they are the territory directors for TextHelp, which if you don't know what they do great stuff. So check it out again, TextHelp.com. And I do hope you go over to what we do over at ace-ed.org and see that. All about equity. Join with us. We try to get all of you involved in this and make your voice heard. So please check it all out, ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Hey, thank you for listening.